This is Jay Thiemeyer reviewing the movie Down to the Bone. This movie is an excellent treatment of addiction and how it impacts everyone around the addict, demonstrating how cheap and easy and simple it can be to tell the truth with celluloid. Down to the Bone is an increasingly applauded indie flick which gives life to a worn subject. It doesn't indulge in distracting special effects or excess of any kind. It renders a simple deposition, the reality of lives destroyed by out-of-control drugging. Straightforward, without sentiment or political freight. Crises arise and are handled with a verisimilitude that avoids the pitfalls of playing on our emotions or playing it for easy dramatic punctuation. Vera Farmiga is subtly wonderful as Irene, a working mom in rural New York who, like her spouse, has been doing dope since school days. Just a matter of course. Part of their ongoing adolescence. The American flag is featured prominently during the initial phase of the film. A burst of a message. This is American reality today. Drugs are everywhere, like firearms, like the homeless. Simply the way it is. With quiet urgency, there's even a red, white, and blue birthday cake in the Walmart where Irene works. Then, succinctly, the point made, we move on. No more flags. Typical of a handful of effective, understated flourishes insinuating some point about our contemporary American society and the individual lives of the handful of characters making up the cast. Irene is also juggling motherhood. Two young sons whom she loves and the elder of whom knows a lot more than Irene realizes. Either she was too stoned or she's forgotten how little kids fail to pick up. Cocaine is the tie that binds her to her job's bearability and to her partner. The spousal connection is waiting for a missing part, and she finds it at the rehab when finally she gets there. It follows a quietly momentous stop at a railroad crossing, after her connection won't help her because she already owes him, and she sees for the first time what her addiction is doing to her. She may even have a sense of where it might take her. It's a good scene, played exactly as it would probably happen, without garnishing. What the rest of the movie is about is where it might take her. The unexpected everyday evolution of how things simply happen in advanced addiction, the recognizable risk-taking portrayed in this film brings to mind Clean and Sober, the film with Michael Keaton and Morgan Freeman, a standard for the recovery community by now, as Down to the Bone surely will become, part of the recovery canon. Irene had a project, one of several which helped this film cohere. It is to purchase a snake. For her boys, a pet. This piece of the film is tricky, and for me, it came off nicely. What could easily have been a cheap Freudian trick was delivered with underlying power. Again, appropriate cleverness, nice symbol, an image of the insinuant snake hanging on the neck of the woebegone mother as the boys revel in their new entertainment central. The snake in his glass box attacks with a strike quicker than the eye. I'll leave the details to you. Just like the disease, which Irene is slowly realizing has hold of her, will get her if she doesn't pay attention, and therefore will get those she loves most, her boys. The snake is not weighted with a reasonable debate. It strikes because that's what it does, just like addiction. It's the nature of the thing, not a Hollywood contrivance. I envied the mouse, confronted with the snake in one scene. It knew what the snake was about and would have exited if it could. I didn't envy Irene, who wasn't sufficiently afraid. Addiction, it is suggested, is smarter, quicker, riskier than a mere snake. She obtained the snake in the city, traveling there with her illicit lover boy. He knew someone who knew his snakes. They bought one the boys would be sure to enjoy. They were assured this one never bites. It only bit me once, he promptly qualifies, when I treated it too rough. And of course, little boys never mistreat their pets. This film has the same basic appeal as Hustle and Flow with Terrence Howard. But while that film was carried entirely by Howard, this one is consistently well cast. Vera Farmiga is the focus, and her performance is remarkable, but far from the whole show. There are some nice small scenes, such as one where Irene is brought to the Walmart office and confronted with how slow she's become. She drives a register, and cocaine is great for speeding up the line. But this is post-treatment, so she tells them quite honestly she's quit coke, so she's slower. Without a blink, her manager fires her. Definitely not with the program. Walmart, of course, doesn't treasure its employees. There's no effort to get them into treatment. They don't have any health benefits at all. What they have is a sign announcing opportunity for new hires. It confronts employees each morning as they drive into the vast, anonymous parking lot, appropriately covered in ice and snow. It is the dead of winter in rural New York, a truly inspiring landscape. Irene, in fact, had to go to a taxpayer-supported county treatment center, which she had to leave prematurely because all her vacation time was used up, and she didn't want to lose her job, which she in turn couldn't afford to lose because she had two young boys and a new mortgage on some plasterboard throw-up shack she called home. The cinematography fits the subject matter perfectly. For example, a nice shot of a black bridge against a gray sky that Irene studies when first out of treatment and puzzling things out, digesting the loss of her dear friend, the dope life. Just as she puzzled right before going into treatment when stopped at the railroad crossing and watched the snake-like, hypnotically inviting train roar past, with all its easy answers screaming at her. But just as that moment passed and another unfolded, this movie is not about simple answers. Things get more complicated, more challenging, more interesting. The journey once begun never ends. This film, in short, meets the challenge of its title. Simply, eloquently done. Excellent cast across the board. No frills, stays on the point, and holds you till the end. It stakes out a little corner of the recovery terrain and cultivates it, clearly and effectively, memorably. Especially the ending, whose force is subdued and consequently that much more indelible. It's all about deciding, do you want to live or do you want to die? This is Jay Thiemeyer for KABU.
Absolutely terrible.
Yes. Gee, you stole my word for the next movie. Next movie is a little indie film entitled Down to the Bone, directed by Deborah Granick. It's her first feature film. Stars Vera Farmiga, who is apparently Flavor of the Month indie girl. She was in. She played the daughter of the presidential candidate in the remake of Manchurian Candidate. Ah. Yeah. It also stars Hugh Dillon, Clint Jordan, and Caridad de la Luz, who I want to see in her own movie because she was great. Trite, dull, predictable. It's one of these drug addiction films, and it takes place in a grimy working-class town in upstate New York.
As I said to you before the show, people are still doing drugs?
People are still doing drugs. I've heard that.
Good thing
yeah.
they're making movies about it because we might not know.
Well, the fact that they're still making movies like this indicates that as long as people take drugs, we'll be seeing crap like this. So, and I don't mean to be crass about this. I understand that people have problems. I understand that people... It's a movie about falling off of rehab and losing... She's in a horrible marriage with a jerk, and she really can't, this is Vera Farmiga, her character really can't break away from her life unless she breaks away from these people, and these people are around her everywhere because that's all there are in this grummy little town in upstate New York. So that's, you know, we understand that. So she goes to rehab and she falls off the wagon, and then she gets arrested, you know, for holding drugs and Vera Farmiga is, she's very appealing, she shows some promise. And the director, I think, might even be showing some. I mean, it's competently filmed, and the director, Deborah Granick, takes advantage of this crummy little town in every way that she possibly can. But I really think she needs to expand her horizons a little bit. The acting in the film throughout is acceptable. It's fine. It's a typical indie film. I mean, again, this is another film written by Indie Software, you know, Indie Software 101 for how to write an indie movie. I give it a C- because, again, it's so trite and predictable. You know exactly what's going to happen the minute all this starts. But you really don't have to see this movie.